So I wanted to go back to Philippians chapter 3. 3 weeks ago, we looked at verses 10 and 11. And tonight, I want to look at verses 12 through 16. Now, I do want to say verse 16, I'm going to hit on a little, but there's a lot more there than I'm going to offer tonight, and I'd love to study that out some more. But it's in the context of these verses, and so I want to be faithful there. One thing just to point out at the beginning, a lot of your Bibles have a new paragraph starting in verse 12. Does anyone not have that? Most have a heading and a new paragraph. Yours doesn't, Sid? Okay. That's not the best division. These very thoughts we're going to look at tonight, they deal with what Paul was just doing earlier, especially verse 11, talking about attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So let's read these verses so we can get them in our mind. Starting in verse 12, Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained this." And we could pause real fast. One of the most important questions to understand this text is this. What does the "this" refer to? Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it. The ESV says it. What's the "it" refer to? Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Then he says it kind of again in the same way. Brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own. So what's the "it" right there? But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So the first question we have to ask in order to understand this passage is, what do these "it" refer to? Some versions don't put the "it" there, but it's implied. He's referring to the main thought here. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this. What do you think that "this" refers to? We have to look at the context, look at the verse prior. Look in there. Anyone have any ideas you want to throw out? Okay, I heard a resurrection from the dead. Gain Christ. Yeah, well, last time we looked at attaining the resurrection from the dead, in short, means the Christian attaining to glorification. Get into heaven, being glorified, seeing Christ face to face, knowing Him as He fully is. And if you look at previously before, obviously one thing on Paul's mind, verse 8, surpassing worth of knowing Christ. At the end of verse 8, gaining Christ. Verse 10, knowing Christ. So clearly one thing on Paul's mind here is knowing Christ in a more fuller way. He wants to know Him now, but he wants to know Him even more fully. When is it that you know Christ more fully than you'll ever know? When you see Him face to face. And when do you get to see Him face to face? When we die. And what happens when we die? To be with Christ, which is far better. In short, we see Him face to face when we cross the finish line. When we cross the finish line. So, I think verse 12, if you look at verse 10, yes, Paul in verse 10, I want to know Him. But what was the point of knowing Him more? Verse 11, I want to know Him. Why? That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So Paul knew in running the race as a Christian here, one thing he needed was to know Christ more now, to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to ultimately finish his course and attain to the resurrection. And so right out of verse 11, when we start in verse 12, I can't see that this referring to anything else other than the resurrection from the dead. So this is my present understanding of verse 12. Not that I've already obtained the resurrection from the dead, meaning I haven't crossed the finish line yet. I haven't got to the end of the race. Or am already perfect. Two takes on that word perfect there. Does he mean perfect in this life? Or does he mean ultimate perfection? Now, obviously we know Paul wasn't perfect in this life. Is that what he's saying? I lean towards the idea, Paul, is he's meaning the perfection that's found in glorification. The perfection that comes when he finishes his course. And then he says, because Christ Jesus has made me my own. Verse 12, I skipped a phrase there. I press on to make it my own. Reason, because Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own. I think Paul is again saying, I have not made the resurrection from the dead my own yet. I haven't finished the finish line. And look at verses 12. Notice what Paul says. Not that I've already obtained this, and then go right to verse 13. I do not consider I have made it my own. I think Paul, what he's doing here is he's repeating himself, but he's giving a different reason after each verse as to what type of mindset he should have when he presses on. Let me explain that a little more. I press on to make it my own. What's his reason? Right there. Because Christ Jesus has made me my own. Then verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own. The resurrection from the dead is not mine. I have not crossed the finish line yet. I'm still in the race. And in the race, one thing I do. I forget what lies behind as I'm running. I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14. I press towards the goal for the prize. What's the prize? Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that again referring to the resurrection from the dead? The up, resurrection going up from the dead? Verse 15. Notice verse 15. Verse 15 is Paul's application about what we just read. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Let those of us who are mature think this way. So, with that said, the title of my study tonight is this: The Mature Think, I Press On. The mature Christian, they have a mindset. They think a certain way. Isn't that what Paul says right there? The mature think this way. And I'm summing up the way the mature think, what we looked at above. The mature Christian thinks, I press on to the end of the finish line because I have not finished the race yet. I still need to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I'm not there yet. I need to forget what lies behind, and I need to strain forward to what lies ahead. I've got to get across the finish line. I can't take it for granted that being a Christian, I'm just going to get there, and I can just live however I want to live. I'm in a race, and Paul says it here two times. He says, I press on, I press on. So, that's what we're going to look at tonight. The mature think a certain way. And so what I want to do is pick this apart more specifically at certain ways the mature think. And my question to you is, do you think that way? Because your guys are runners in this race. At least most of you all, you have been laid hold of by the Lord, and you're in the race. And runners need to think a certain way, right? I mean, how many of you guys did track in high school? Anyone? I did a little bit. They teach you how to breathe correctly. They teach you some would even say, don't look at your competition to the side. Just focus on the end and run as fast as you can. You learn. You're running a race, you learn in track and field. How much more in the spiritual race? Because what's more important? Getting an earthly wreath at the Olympics in Rio? Absolutely not. Getting a trophy for our football team? Absolutely not. What's most important is getting to heaven and attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We've got to remember, there are people who start the race and don't finish. I was just listening to John MacArthur's life testimony today. I had a CD and it had his testimony. And you know one thing John MacArthur mentioned? He said there were people in seminary that they were so apparently godly, he was so close to them, and 30 years later, they were atheists. Isn't that amazing? And some of us are younger Christians. We've not experienced the heartache of those near and dear to us who we believed were Christians falling away. And when you start to experience that, you start to recognize something. Whoa, this race is for real. It was happy-go-day when the gun got fired and we were all starting off. But I got to get to the end. This guy fell away. I never thought he'd fall away. Because we're in a race. We need to think like a mature runner if we want to finish the race. Let those of us who are mature, Paul says in verse 15, think this way. And I believe this way, we're going to look at what it says after, but more importantly, what he just said beforehand, Paul is giving us a mindset by which to run the race with. You know, a lot of us, we start out fresh, and what happens? You get weary, gets harder. I remember my family years ago, my dad wanted us to hike through the Grand Canyon. I had a desk job, computer guy at the time. I used to be athletic, and I thought, no problem. I did not prepare. And I'll tell you, when we hiked through the Grand Canyon, 20-something miles going down one side and up the other, not completely through it, but like down like that, I thought I was going to die. I mean, I had my ski poles, and we were going up, and there was snow, and like the things to not fall, not like we're skiing. And I just felt like I was going to die. I was not prepared. I had no idea what I got into. I didn't know. Isn't that kind of what it says in Luke 14? A man began to build, and what happened? He didn't finish. He didn't finish. And those around him began to what? Mock. Began to mock. This guy, he started, look, I'm building a big building. Guys, look at this thing. It's going to be great. We're going to do this, this, and that. Fast forward a couple years, he didn't even finish. Didn't finish. We don't want that to be true of us. So we need to think right. You know, look at this phrase in there. Again, that phrase, pressing on. Verse 14, I press on. And then it's one other place. Verse 12, I press on. I press on. So first, let me just clarify, make sure we got this. I press on towards what goal? The finish line we cross is the resurrection from the dead. But that's not the main thing in Paul's mind. He wants to get to the resurrection of the dead, as we already mentioned. Why? Because when he gets there, what happens? He gets to know Jesus Christ more. And that's the heart of the Christian. When you think about the runner in the Christian race, their main focus, what does Hebrews 12 say? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of the faith. That's where the Christian's eyes are. I want to know Christ more now. Paul says that, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection right now in my life, the power of the new birth, of the power that rose Christ from the dead. I need that power in my life right now to help me in this race. But it's ultimately to attain to the final resurrection. And when I attain to the final resurrection, I will know Christ more. What's another verse in the Old Testament? The only verse I know of in the Old Testament that says, press on. Where's that at?
Hosea 6.
Yeah, Hosea 6:3. Let us press on. Let us press on to what? To know the Lord. Isn't that something? In the Old Testament, same thing. What were they pressing on in the Old Testament? To know the Lord God. And here the exact imprint of His nature is in Jesus Christ. And we get to press on to know Christ more. And when we've crossed the finish line, it's not a gold medal we're running to get. We're going to bow down at His feet and lay our crowns there and worship Jesus Christ. So, one other thing in my notes, just to try to convince you I'm not leading you astray with verse 12, not that I've already obtained this, the resurrection from the dead, or am already perfect. Some may say perfect means practical righteousness. I'm saying I think perfect here, it just means the perfection at glorification when we get to heaven. He's just saying it another way. I haven't attained to the resurrection of the dead yet. And also what happens at the resurrection of the dead? Perfection. And I thought about Hebrews 12. Don't turn there. But he talks about a heavenly Jerusalem and the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made what? Perfect. Made perfect. There is a perfection in heaven. For the Christian. We got two seats right here in the front row. If you guys are too scared, you can fold them up and take them back there. We're in Philippians chapter 3. We looked at in verse 15, Paul says, the mature think a certain way. The mature runner in the race thinks a certain way. And we just looked at the goal of the race is to get across the finish line, which for the Christian is ultimately when you die or when Christ comes and gets you. And when we're there in glory, we see Him face to face, we'll know Him as He is. So we're working our way to getting to the specifics on this mindset. But one thing to point out, look at chapter 3, look at how Paul even goes on later in verse 20. Or verse 19 even, he talks about the non-Christian, their end is destruction. You see that, verse 19? But look at our end in verse 20. Our citizenship, it's in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus. And what's going to happen ultimately when Christ comes and that bodily resurrection happens and our spirit and body are joined? Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. I was thinking, what could I practically mention there to help you guys? The idea about a new body. How many of you guys think about that much as Christians? I rarely do. That does not cross my mind that often. But this is what I thought. You know one thing, you know what happens with certain people who are in races? Say the Olympics. If it looks like you're getting hurt and you know you're not going to win, you might quit the race because you realize there's going to be what? A next time. 4 years later, I can go again. Or say you have two races in there. I don't know. You can kind of protect and coddle your body because you realize, you know what? This body, I've got multiple races to do. But for the Christian, how many races are we in? One. You know what that means? It doesn't matter how beat up this body gets. Who cares? You're going to get a new one in heaven. Just get across the finish line. You're not going to have to heal up. You're not going to have to sit around and ice your legs or anything like that. So if you lose your legs, what did Jesus say? If your right hand causes you to sin, do what with the right hand? Cut it off and throw it away. It's better you enter heaven minus an arm than go to hell with the arm. And so one thing, you know, our bodies, how many of you all have thought about how you look today? Look, I'll admit, I looked in the mirror to make sure my hair wasn't crazy so I wasn't a distraction tonight. We care about our bodies. Some people can be consumed with how they look. But you know what? Paul says you're going to get a new one anyways. That's not the big thing in this life. It's not. You guys are snickering. It's not the big thing. I don't know why you're snickering, but it's not. That's kind of freeing. Getting across the finish line, it doesn't matter how I look. If I lose my arms and legs, who cares? I'm going to attain to the resurrection. I'll get a new body then. God is determined to do that. There is a bodily resurrection. So, don't be discontent with your body. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, they said his bodily presence is what? Weak. He did not look like a professional football player like our Chinese missionary friend who used to be in the NFL. When that brother comes to the church, you're intimidated. He's like 6'6 and massively ripped. Paul would come and it's like a 4-foot guy who looks ridiculous, probably had lost fingers and a crick in his back. Do you think Paul cares about that? No, he's not consumed. He's consumed with a passion pressing on to get across the finish line. So what is the biblical mindset for the runner pressing on in the race? What are some things here? First, let's think of this. How did we get in the race to begin with? That's an important question. How did I even get in the race if I'm in the race? It's in the text. How did I get in the race?
Christ made me His own.
Christ made me His own. Or as the NASB says, Christ laid hold of me. We're thinking about running a race and what mindset to have. One of the first things we should realize is, you know why you're even in the race if you're in the race? It's not because you chose Jesus Christ ultimately. It's because the Lord in His sovereignty laid hold of you. Isn't that what happened to Paul? What, Acts 9? Breathing threats and slaughters, going to persecute more Christians. And you know what? You kind of get the feeling like the Lord literally laid hold of him. But the Lord laid hold of him and saved Paul. Did Paul seek the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't. So here Paul is. He's like, the reason I'm even in the race is because Christ has laid hold of me. I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me His own. Notice that? One of Paul's mindsets in the race and motivations is to press on because of the fact that the Lord has even allowed him to enter the race to begin. He's so privileged, I'm even in the race at all. I have to finish. Christ in love has allowed me to enter this race. There's no quitting. There is no turning back. To illustrate this, listen to this. John Stephen Akweri from Tanzania, he ran in the Olympics in Mexico. I think that was 1960s. While competing in the marathon in Mexico City, Akweri cramped up due to the high altitude of the city. He had not trained at such altitude back in his country. At the 19-kilometer point during the 42-kilometer race, there was jockeying for position between some runners, and he was hit. He fell badly, wounding his knee, dislocated that joint, plus his shoulder hit hard against the pavement. He, however, continued running, finishing the last among 57 competitors who completed the race. 75 started, 57 completed. The winner of the marathon, Mamo Waldi of Ethiopia, finished in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Akweri finished in 3 hours and 25 minutes. When interviewed later and asked why he continued running, he said this. Listen to this. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And you know what? When you step back and realize, whoa, Christ sovereignly saved me and entered me in this race and enlisted me as a good soldier. You could say like that guy in a greater reality, Christ did not enter me in the race to not complete the race. He entered me it to finish him, to finish the race that I might know him more. You know, we think about American pride, or, you know, people are so proud they're representing the U.S. in the Olympics in those races. Guys, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe. We're representing the one who died on the cross and shed His blood, that we could be forgiven and not go to hell for all of an eternity. We're representing Him who created all things, who sustains all things, and yet was crucified. It's incredible. Paul says that right there. I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me His own. One of his reasons to press on is the fact that the Lord has laid hold of him. And one of the very, and again, the reason the Lord lays hold of you is to finish the race, not to start it and quit. So that was, I wanted to first look at how did we get in the race? He laid hold of us. So we press on to the finish line because Christ has put us in the race that we might finish the race. 1 Timothy 6, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Are you guys taking hold of eternal life? Are you guys running in such a way? This isn't a gold medal. This isn't fame. This isn't popularity. We run to the end to lay hold of eternal life. And you say, wait, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ, and John 17 says that is to have eternal life. It is.
But what did Jesus teach in Matthew 10, 22? Those who endure to the end will be saved. The proof I know Christ in the present is that I endure to the end and attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the proof.
And so this matters. What mindset must I have?
My first reason isn't even from these verses. My first reason is from earlier in Philippians. That's why I think it's faithful to use it.
And this is the question to ask.
Where is our ultimate confidence in that we're going to get across the finish line? Philippians 1:6. If you just flip there in your Bibles, you can read it.
I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you,
he who laid hold of you, he who entered you in the race,
will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Where was Paul's confidence he'd get to the end? It was in him who entered him into the race,
into the Lord. Now, we have to balance that out. Go to Philippians 2. You guys remember verse 12. Paul says there, as you've always obeyed, now, not only my absence, much more in my presence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
So we're called to work it out. We're called to work out our salvation, enduring to the end.
Yet again, look at verse 13. It's God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
So when we talk about running the race, we're talking about our ultimate confidence of getting to the end is in the Lord. At the same time, we do have responsibility. Yet the only way we can do that which is responsible is if God's working in us. So we got to rely on Him to see these things come through.
So, the first mindset we need to have is we need to make sure our confidence ultimately is not in ourselves, but in the Lord.
What did Paul say in, 1 Corinthians? I strove and toiled, but it was not I. It was who?
Grace of God.
The grace of God. So ultimately, it's the grace of God. But you don't want to believe that and just throw it off and think the grace of God is just going to magically move you.
We have responsibility to work it out. So getting to the finish line, Paul said, I finished the race. I kept the faith. This in 2 Timothy 4.
I kept the faith. Are you guys keeping the faith? What's faith? Taking God at His word. Are you taking God at His word about the faith of the gospel? About what's been delivered to us? Are we continually believing the Lord for these things?
Think about the Lord. Matthew 25. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master.
So, more practical now. What mindset does the mature racer in the race have?
He's pressing on, realizing the race is not over. And I kind of just hit on that. But that's one thing. Look at the verses again. Not that I have already obtained this, the finish line. Verse 13. I do not consider I have made it my own, this resurrection, which is getting across the finish line.
So the first thing the good runner has in the race is he realizes, I haven't finished yet. When you realize that, you keep running. What happens when you cross the finish line? Guys collapse from exhaustion. Guys go get pictures. They run around with their flag. Why? The race is over. Imagine if a guy did that before the race finished. Everyone would start passing him by, and then he might not even make it across the finish line.
We can't get stagnant and stop. We can't take anything for granted. So, simple, right?
The race isn't over. If any of you guys came here tonight thinking that because you believed in Jesus Christ 6 years ago, the race is over and you can go do whatever you want, that's not biblical Christianity. The Bible doesn't talk like that.
It talks about enduring, running a race, being on a track. So another thing, the way to think. We need to press on considering that we personally have to make it our own.
We personally have to get across the finish line for ourselves.
Look at verse 13. Paul said, I don't consider I have made it my own.
The Christian life is a race that ultimately, in the end, it's about, do you individually finish the race? No group salvation. This isn't a relay race where you get Michael Phelps in it, and it doesn't matter if you blow your thing and he can pass everyone up. It's not a relay. We're in it as individuals. As the song says, I have decided to follow Jesus, there's no turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Someone can't run the race for you. You think about Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, do you not know in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Paul viewed the Christian life as a very personal thing. At the same time, Paul viewed it as necessary that we need other people. The writer of Hebrews said, exhort one another every day. Why? So that we don't get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Tim did a sermon years ago called How Christians Save Christians. Does anyone remember that? How Christians Save Christians. Does that mean I can save you? Well, no, I can be a means in your life to get you to the end. Even me tonight talking on this, if any of you guys are getting stagnant in the race, I'm here to tell you, press on. Don't quit. Don't slow down. You're not there yet. This is a means, me exhorting you right now so you don't get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Now, Paul said there only one receives the prize. Look, we know that doesn't mean there's only one Christian.
But notice the mindset. I'm running. Look, if you run a race and you knew 1,000 people got the gold medal, would that motivate you? You know, it's like, well, at least I'm the 800 mark. No, I'm running as if one gets it. That's my mindset.
Not like kids' t-ball where we all got trophies at the end of the year even if we didn't win any games. My mom says, do I want those trophies? I said, no, they don't really mean that much to me. Because it was easily earned. So another thing, the mature runner in the race to attain the resurrection, to know Christ ultimately, to cross the finish line, he forgets the miles and accomplishments that he's already completed. He forgets the miles and accomplishments he already has.
And we see that right there, verse 13.
I do not consider I've made it my own. One thing I do. What do you do, Paul? I forget what lies behind. That's where we find it. I forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead.
This is not referring to sin. It simply isn't. You can't go to Philippians 3 and apply this to someone who just fell into sin and you say to them, brother, you need to forget about your sin and press on. Do we believe the Lord that our sin is under the blood and trust Him and press on? We do. Paul here he didn't just have some major fall or a fall into sin and he's thinking, boy, I better forget about my sin and press on. Paul rather is thinking about all the ground he's taken, all the accomplishments he's had, and Paul realizes, I better not put confidence in that. I better not put confidence that I'm an apostle. I better not put confidence that I was in a jail and an earthquake happened and the doors opened up and I saw mighty miracles, because what does Jesus say on Judgment Day? Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons, do many mighty works? And he says, I never knew you.
Paul realizes, no, I can't look and put confidence in my accomplishments.
What happens to the runner who gets proud? He's like, man, I'm making pretty good time. I finished 50 laps. I only have 4 to go. I must make it now. I already did 50. You know, there are people who got out of the race in the last lap. I read about someone, they had dehydration or something. They had ran 50 miles in some race and they didn't finish the last mile. They didn't finish it. We don't need a mindset of confidence in things in the past. I can't be here tonight and say, well, I've had a really good stretch for 9 years as a Christian. Boy, you know, I did this. I started this ministry. I reached these people. I did all these things for the Lord. Guys, if we start getting a confidence in the things in the past and we don't forget about it and strain onward, we're going to have a self-confidence that we got an easy ticket to heaven and we're going to quit in the race. Paul said, I buffet my body. He beat it to be in. Paul? Come on, Paul, look at all you've done. You can easily make it. You don't need to discipline your body. You don't need to exercise self-control. Paul is saying, no, I've got to. I've got to press on. I've got to forget what lies behind. With our sin in the past, what do we need to do with it? We need to deal with it and clear our conscience. And sure, I don't dwell on my guilt and everything in the past, but Paul's main point here is not that. His main point here is forget about the ground you've already taken. Sin doesn't progress you. It knocks you back. It's not an accomplishment. It's something, if we live in it, we ultimately disqualify ourselves if we're slaves of sin. So Paul, forget about the churches you've planted. Paul, forget about 2 Corinthians 11. Paul didn't put confidence in this, but he said, 5 times I received lashes at the hands of Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was once stoned. I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Frequent journeys, dangerous from rivers, dangerous from robbers, dangerous from my own people, dangerous from the Gentiles, danger in the city, toil, hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And Paul, the mature runner in the race, after all of that, you know what Paul's thinking? Forget about that. I press on. Forget about it. I can't. He's bringing it up there to defend his ministry, but Paul's confidence is not there. I press on. That I might get across the finish line. So, that's the mature runner thinks that way. Do we think that way? Forgetting the miles and accomplishments we've already had. You know what he's kind of saying? Every day as a Christian, you know, live it like, not like it's your first day as a Christian, but live it fresh. Live it real. Don't just think, oh, I've just been a Christian. No, keep the heat going. How many of us as new Christians, we had so much zeal? I mean, I remember one morning we went downtown in front of the Alamo. We're open air preaching before the Sunday meeting, and there was a line of like 140 people. Look, I got kids now, so maybe I can't go do that. But where's the zeal? We get saved, there's a zeal there. I want to glorify Christ. And some of that, it can be over radical zeal and we kind of get balanced and toned down. Sometimes that's an excuse. I was just radical back then. No, I want to be radical now in a balanced, loving way. And that's what Paul says. What's the next mindset we need? What did he doesn't just say forget what lies behind. Does he say, you know, walk casually forward to what lies ahead? He's kind of walk. Come on, walk forward. What does he say? Straining forward. You know what straining? The idea is to stretch out. To stretch out. I don't know. We watched a couple Olympic highlights. In one race, the American was about to cross the finish line. And you know what another person did? She literally dove across the finish. She stretched out. She dove across the finish line. Look, none of us are there yet. We're all running the race. And I'll tell you, I can't wait till I can see the end. The problem is we don't know the end when he'll take us. But to dive out, to stretch out, to run, to push ourselves. You know, that's one reason why physical bodily training profits something. Isn't that what Paul said? It does profit something. Because you know what? As I physically beat my body and say no to my flesh, say no to food at times and fast, it helps me deny myself of sin and worldly lust. It helps me to have an eternal mindset. If we have no self-control, how are we going to run physically? Straining forward. What's another way the Lord Jesus Christ talks about those who enter the kingdom of heaven? They take the kingdom of heaven by what? And who does he call them right there? Violent men. As Charles Leiter did a sermon, the Christian is a violent man and a violent woman. Are you ladies violent women? Now, you take that out of context, sounds pretty bad. But Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. We already quoted it. Cutting off arms, that sounds kind of violent, doesn't it? Yeah. Hebrews 12, laying aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, running endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus. Laying aside. You see a guy out there just throwing things off and running? There's violence there. I got to get to the finish line. I'm pressing on. So we're straining forward. Do we have that mindset? Is there a seriousness of straining forward? And we looked at 3 weeks ago what lies in our path. Look back at verse 10. Thank God we have the power of His resurrection as we're in the race. But what's going to happen? We're going to share His sufferings. Yet as we share His sufferings, we become like Him in His death. And then verse 11 in the ESV, by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. You remember that phrase last time? What a glorious phrase. The Christian running the race, they're saying, Lord, by any means possible that I get across the finish line. Any means possible. I'm straining forward. So, the mature runner in the race, they forget what lies ahead, they strain forward, or they forget what lies behind, excuse me, and they strain forward to what lies ahead. So, a couple more things. Well, I think I'll mention this. I want to look at this more, verse 15 and 16. So again, verse 12 and 13, the mature racer realizes I need to pass the finish line for my own. I need to forget what lies ahead. I need to strain forward to what lies forward. And I need to realize that I'm in the race because Christ has laid hold of me and He didn't come from heaven and earth to get me in the race that I not finish it. Is that one Olympian, that idea, he said. But look at verse 16. Or verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. And then he says this, only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so I think part of the mature mindset of the runner in the race is obeying that verse. That's right here in the context. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Who has an NASB here? Anyone have the New American Standard Version? Okay, well, I have it. I'll read it. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. You hear that? A lot more thoughts can be given, but this is the one thought I have for this race we're running. Okay. Are you still running the race according to the same standard you have been, the same pace? Or are you slowing down in your pace? Are you running to that same... Here a Christian is, they have a standard of holiness. God has shown them, informed their conscience, live in such a way. Don't partake in this. And they're running like that. God's told me no to these things. I'm pressing on. And then you know what happens? They start to lower their standards. Well, before I had that conviction... Maybe a little too serious. Forget about that. Boy, that one too. I'm missing out. Forget about that standard. Before you know it, this runner who's doing pretty good, they're lowering their standard, not increasing it. And Paul says right there in verse 15, if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Meaning, I think a certain way as a Christian, and you know what I want? I want God to keep revealing to me more and better ways to think and live the Christian life. I want to keep upping my standard as a Christian, not lowering it. I've seen Christians drop their standards. And you know what happens so often when they do? They start to dwindle out of the race. Now, I've seen people who got saved and were legalistic to the core, and they had 50,000 rules to follow, and it dawned on them, I'm just messed up, and they got rid of that standard, that was a good thing. Because you know what? They weren't looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of the faith. They were looking to the list of rules. At the same time, there's people who are looking to Christ and have strong convictions and standards, and even while looking to Christ and the Lord convicting them, don't do that, the Word saying don't do that, they say forget about it. That's the type of person who is going to fall out eventually with compromise. Another thought from those verses that's comforting is he says this, let us hold true to the standard that we have attained. As you're in the race, you don't have to worry about what standard everyone else has. Run with the standard that God has brought you to as a runner. There are going to be other people who are going to run faster. Don't get discouraged. Don't say, well, boy, I better pick up their standard. If you can't do that in a good conscience, don't. Run and be faithful to what God has, what standard you've currently attained to. A lot more there in verse 15, 16. I want to meditate on those verses more. So, in closing, first question is this. Have you been laid hold of by Christ? Has Christ laid hold of you? I mean, were you there in the miry, and He took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock to stay. Were you actually in the miry clay and He yanked you out? He pulled you out and you look back and you say, the only reason I'm in the race is Christ. Yes, I believed. I had to repent, but I realized the only reason I even believed in the Lord was because He opened my eyes to show me how blind I was and dead in my trespasses and sins. If He didn't do that, if He didn't lay hold of me, I never would be in the race. If you have been laid hold of by Christ, press on to lay hold of the final resurrection. Press on. Think there's a day that we will get to know Christ face to face. There's that clip on I'll Be Honest of my father-in-law who died. It's called I Press On That I Might Know Him. And he kind of gives some thoughts out of these verses. And he mentioned what person who's engaged doesn't want to know more intimacy now. Before the wedding day, they want to know the person more. That's the Christian. There we are going to heaven where the shadows will be all gone completely, and we will see Christ as He is. We won't be looking through anything dimly, but we'll see Him face to face. Think of that. So when we think of the goal, getting to the finish line, crossing the resurrection, get across the resurrection from the dead and be with Christ in heaven, and then just you get Him. That's what we're pressing on for. That's what Paul wants to know. He wants to know Christ more. The Christian life is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If your Christianity isn't an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then it's not true Christianity. That doesn't mean you're not going to need to know Him more. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more. I'm not there yet. Can you say that? Do you ever think that? Do you ever think, I'm not there yet? I'm not there yet. I've got to finish and get to the prize. I must strain onward. Boy, I got to keep up the pace. I got to not grow weary in well-doing. I got to keep up the pace, keep up my standard. Oh, boy, I got to stop thinking about the ground I've already taken. Did you ever think that? I got to stop thinking about all of that. I got to stop being like King David and counting my troops and saying, well, look what I have. God struck dead thousands of those men when He did that. He needed to look forward. Who cares what we've done, what we've accomplished? We must plow on and count everything as loss. Verse 8 says, it's for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He laid hold of me while I was dead in my sins. I must press on for Him. So that's all I have tonight. If anyone has any thoughts to mention, to add.
He tells them there's much more of the land to be taken and possessed.
Yeah, Bob quoted that in that clip, right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Or one of those. Yeah, there's more land to take. It can sound greedy like the businessman, but no, the Lord's commanded us to go take land. Land, are we looking for physical land? No, we're looking for souls. That we can submit them before the Lord. These Gentiles, Jews, whoever, who comes to know Christ. So we got to press on. I sign so many of my emails to people, and I just say, pressing on, comma. I say that because this verse says it. And I'm letting that person know who I email. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm pressing on. How are you doing? I'm pressing on. That I might know him more now, and that I might cross the finish line and know him more fully then, and see him face to face, and be satisfied in the pleasure forevermore that is at the right hand of the throne of God. And look, if you're not a Christian here and you're running for any other race, it's not going to satisfy you. I mean, again, we look at the people who get medals in the Olympics and you just feel sad for them. It's empty. Now, there's true Christians who get medals, but they'll be the first to say, yeah, this, you know, there's that girl who won the swimming this year, Mia something, I don't know her, but she's professing Christian and things were encouraging from what I heard, and she just said something like, the Lord's not impressed with me being in the Olympics or something like that. Well, that's kind of an insult to everyone else because they are impressed they're in the Olympics. But that's the Christian. It's like, yeah, all right, I got this medal. You know what? I'll be willing to sell that so I can give to the poor and store up treasure in heaven. Not so I can leave it in a trophy case. Why? Because I'm not finished yet. I'm still in the race. There's more ground to take. There's more holiness to be had. There's a higher standard of Christianity to be revealed to me. Meaning there are more ways I could change the way I live to honor God more than I am now. Hebrews 12:14, strive for what? Peace with everyone and for the holiness without which you won't see the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? But the true Christian, they say, absolutely, I want more holiness. That's one of my problems. And even if you do take Philippians 12 or 3:12, that perfect, meaning Paul saying he's not perfect and he wants to be perfect, no matter what you take that, Paul wants to be more like Christ now. He wants to know him more. Because the more I'm like Christ, the more intimacy I have with Christ now. The closer I am with my wife, the greater our marriage is, the more I know her now. Same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey, James, there's a good hymn we sing. It's called Plant My Feet on Higher Ground.
Ah, there you have it.
Like, it starts out, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day.
Ah, that's good. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Are you a mature runner in the race? Remember, that's what we're looking at, right? Let those of us who are mature think this way. If you're not thinking in these things that have been mentioned tonight, then don't be immature in your thinking, because it could cost you. But think right. Press on to new heights. Press on forgetting what lies behind. Press on to make it your own. Press on to know Christ more. Press on because He laid hold of you. Be like that Tanzania guy. I didn't come here, you know. I didn't get sent here to not finish. You know, imagine the humiliation when you go back and you didn't finish and your country sent you. Look, guys, our humiliation isn't we go back and, well, I didn't finish the race. Ours is you go to hell for an eternity and under the unquenchable fires. You want to talk about humiliation? There's nothing more humiliating than that. Who is a runner in the race who looked back? Lot's wife. Jesus says, remember her. Remember that woman. She looked back. Leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back, turned to a pillar of salt and perished. And Jesus says, if you seek to save your life like her, you're going to lose your life. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. Lose it. What does lose sound like? Laying aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Cutting off limbs. Whatever it takes, I press on that I might know Christ. Anything else? I want to be more swift spiritually. A couple times the fiery darts of the devil hit me and it's like, oh man, more swifter to do what? Put up the shield and trust the Lord. Not swift in your own power. Lord, help me. Can't do anything apart from you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul, the apostle, Lord, who's ran ahead and he's got across the finish line. I've kept the faith. Lord, would you help every brother and sister here to keep the faith,
to press on to the end, to hold fast to the standard, reveal more to them, grow them in grace. Lord, help them to make it their own. Help them to think about your love for them, that you laid hold of them, Lord. And Lord, our confidence is that you who began the good work, you'll bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your utter kindness to us. Lord, would you help us to press on and to take more land and to go to higher ground. And Lord, if there's any here who are not even in the race, just pray, Lord, you would lay hold of them. Lord, that you would put your hand on them. Lord, and begin a good work in their heart. Lord, that they might be co-runners in the race, that we could encourage each other on to the finish line, to that resurrection from the dead, that new body one day. In Jesus' name, amen.